the anti-Turkish and anti-Islamic stance of the British deep state.
One of the most important elements that set the stage for the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, the disintegration of the Middle East, and turning the Islamic world into a bloodbath, is the propaganda against Islam and the Turkish nation that started in Britain in the 19th century. The goal was to legitimize atrocities committed against Muslim and Turkish societies and to prevent the public from reacting to the inherent inequity and injustice of the process of reshaping the Middle East and the invasion of the Islamic world. The first step was taken with Charles Darwin's lie that the Turks were an inferior race, God forbid the thought, and that Turks would be soon eliminated. Therefore, the British deep state could base the bloodshed they carried out on Islamic world on so-called scientific grounds. Let's look at what Darwin said and how he fed the British deep state with his unscientific delusion.
I could show fighting in natural selection having done and doing more for the progress of civilization than you seem inclined to admit. Remember what risk the nations of Europe ran, not so many centuries ago, of being overwhelmed by the Turks, and how ridiculous such an idea now is. The more civilized so-called Caucasian races have beaten the Turkish hollow in the struggle for existence. Looking to the world at no very distant date, what an endless number of the lower races will have been eliminated by the higher civilized races throughout the world.
Following Darwin's so-called scientific observation, the leading British politicians and writers of the time repeatedly made anti-Turkish statements, rejecting their anti-Turkish and anti-Islamic attitude as a scientific stance. For instance, just like Darwin, the period's British Foreign Secretary George William Frederick Villiers defined the Turkish race as one that could never be civilized. According to the delusions of Villiers, Turks should have been wiped off from the face of the earth. Also, William Ewart Gladstone, who served as the British Prime Minister from 1880 to 1885, uttered numerous insults against the Turkish nation, and in his book referred to Turks as an anti-human specimen of humanity.
Gladstone had aspirations, such as to drive the Turks back to the steppes of Central Asia for the continuation of their civilization. Once he said that the so-called evil actions of Turks could be eliminated only when they were eliminated. Gladstone's hostility is not only toward Turkish nations, but to all Muslims. For as long as there were followers of that accursed book, surely the Quran is above such remarks, Europe would have no peace, said Gladstone, publishing an anti-Turkish book titled Bulgarian Horrors and the Question of the East. In this book, he disparaged the Ottomans with a vengeance and wrote, "Let the Turks now carry away their abuses in the only possible manner, namely by carrying off themselves." The then British Prime Minister, Lord Salisbury, wrote the following about the Turks in a confidential document of 1911. Even Mr. Buxton seems to recognize the absurdity of a nation in this state of barbarianism, claiming to be treated as a European state and to abolish capitulations and so on.
These words, which regard the rightful opposition to capitulations that plagued the Ottoman Empire as barbarism, reveal the mentality of the British deep state. According to the British deep state, Turks and Muslims are condemned to slavery, service, and exploitation under the Anglo-Saxon race. In fact, it was this period when Britain labeled the Ottoman Empire as the sick man. Prime Minister Herbert Henry Asquith said in a speech that the Ottoman Empire was on its deathbed and maintained that, as the nest of malice and evil, this sick man would not revive again.
Lord George, the British Prime Minister during the First World War, said that all Arabic-speaking lands should be taken away from the Ottomans and placed under mandate. He said the Turks would have a certain portion of Anatolia, but no European territory at all. He maintained that Turks should be given no part of the straits or the seas. George was fixated on one notion: that Turks have stayed and caused troubles in Europe for centuries, and that Istanbul was not Turkish, it was Greek, and Turks had to be removed from there. Lord Curzon expressed his anti-Turkish views very clearly, saying that Turks had to be thrown out of Europe. He called Turks a nest of pestilence, creators of wars, and blasphemy for its neighbors, and claimed that they had to be wiped off from Europe. The British historian, Edwin Pears, remarks about the occupation of Istanbul in his 1918 article for Daily News are quite appalling. He wrote, "Well, it looks as if the Turk will be got rid of. And if it be so, there will be a song of triumph which should go up from every Christian race in the world, a Te Deum in which all lovers of civilization should take part."
The anti-Turkish and anti-Muslim rhetoric of 19th century British politicians, examples of which we touched upon briefly, are important in terms of understanding the collapse of the Ottoman Empire and contemporary developments. In the 19th century, the British deep state not only targeted the Ottomans, but also the religion of Islam. During these provocations, there were attacks against our religion and an overall policy to weaken the Islamic world. Edward Augustus Freeman, an English politician, bizarrely argued that Islam, may God forbid the thought, was a restrictive and intolerant religion. Freeman was also one of the most vocal names in anti-Turkish propaganda after the Bulgarian uprising.
Winston Churchill, who served as Home Secretary, Minister of Munitions, Secretary of State for War, Chancellor of Exchequer, Minister of Defense, and finally Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, repeatedly used the most slanderous expressions about Islam and Muslims. Churchill regarded the Anglo-Saxon race as supreme and other races as so-called semi-animal creatures from the inferior classes that needed to be exploited and guided. Churchill, a politician who proposed that 100,000 British troops should be forcibly taken to labor camps and be castrated, thought that in this way, the decline of the British race could be prevented. It was also Churchill who ordered Kenya's fertile lands to be worked only by the Caucasian race, who caused the transportation of 150,000 Kenyans to concentration camps.
Even today, behind the atrocities that take place throughout the Islamic world, lies the British deep state's racist and anti-Islamic black propaganda and insidious politics. The greatest barrier against this insidious plan is a strong Islamic union where Muslims ally together and live by Islam, as it was defined in the Quran, which is the highest point of democracy, freedom, art, and equality. When Muslims are in a total union of love as God commands, no treacherous plan will have the opportunity to influence this region.